Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was meditating for a little while this morning before we came here, as my pattern is, I felt that I needed to change the passage. I'm not going to look at Peter this morning. I'm actually going to go to the very beginning of the Bible and read the creation story. So our text this morning is from Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and read through verse 4 of chapter 2. So again, that's Genesis chapter 1. So that's the very first book of the Bible and the very first verse of the Bible. Genesis 1:1, and we'll read from this portion of God's Word in the name of Christ. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness, from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven and to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the ground, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the earth, of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Amen. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, again, Lord, we are in awe of you this morning. That you would have such power and such ability to breathe or to speak what we see and behold into existence. So we ask, Father, that indeed this morning, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make yourself known to us again this day. Reveal unto us, Father, who we are. Show us who you are. And show us our Redeemer. And sanctify us in the truth. For your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. And God said, it is not my intent this morning to simply try to go through each day of creation and explain some sort of spiritual analogy or something like that out of this text. I think that would be destroying it. What we see here is quite plain and simple, and I thought of this especially in light of it being the Sunday school picnic, and so I don't intend to go really long today, maybe only an hour. Trying to wake the kids up at least, right? There is a phenomenon that is permeating our culture that I think we need to nip in the bud as a church. And the phenomenon is simply this: man said, man said, man said. And I want you children especially to understand this. We as a church teach you something far different than what man said. What we teach here in this church is what God has said. So as you view the prevailing culture, as you view the people that you live around in this world, and you see their different characteristics and distinctive behaviors that they exhibit, and I'm using kind of a lot of big words here, but as you see how they live, I want you to understand that if they are living contrary to what the Word of God says, it is wrong. You see, in this world, in and under our Creator God, there are absolutes. There are laws that He has laid down. And the way He even created His creation spells out for us the order in which God has set things in place. And that is why whenever you begin to question whatever it might be out in this world that looks perhaps reasonable according to human wisdom and understanding, you need to return again to the first book of the Bible and to the first chapter and read all of the God said. God spoke everything into creation. As we examine this world around us and everything that's in it, the marvel of it, in fact, we marvel at all of the various landscapes, and when we view the night sky, all of the stars or the moon, and in the daytime, we enjoy the heat and warmth of the sun. All of this came into being because God said. Not for any other reason. We don't need to go to any other way to try to explain how life teems, how life abounds here in this world than to understand simply our Creator God. God is Creator. And when He speaks, things happen. That's really what you see in this whole account here as you read, as you hear this read to you this morning. God said, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that we see and enjoy around us, even this day, is from God Himself. We don't need to question that. We don't need to wonder, perhaps, if there was some sort of a... I don't even know if I should bring science into this or not. I think just saying God said is enough. But as you get older, perhaps, the older youth are among us, and even ourselves as adults, as elders within the church, perhaps we begin to question, you know, the beginning of things and begin to wonder, how does all of this explain itself? Why does all of this happen? And the simple answer this morning is God said. You see, I think we don't need to bring into all kinds of theological high concepts or teachings and begin to, not that it's bad to study any of that. It's not my point this morning. My point is we simply need to pound it into our children's head. Yes, pound it. We don't give them a choice. Contrary to this world's thinking, we don't give our children a choice in what we teach them. What would you like to hear? You know, what would you like to hear? No, we tell them plain and simple the absolute truth of God's Word. This is what it says. It's time for us to stop bending the knee to society and all of its doctrine and teaching. Because sadly, this is what you hear people saying. There's a well-known preacher who was riding on a train over in Scotland, I think it was. And as he was riding along there on the train, he noticed a young mother sitting there with her children around her, and they were riding along in the train. And so he began to converse with them. And as he conversed with them for a little while, you know, just about whatever they're seeing out the window of the train, all of the various things that they're doing in their life, school, where they live, all of those kind of things, he asked this question of one of the little children. Hey, do you go to Sunday school? And immediately the mother said, and I don't know if it was a boy or a girl, but she just called her child back to her and said, come sit down here. Don't talk to that man anymore. And she looked at this preacher and she said, I like my children to make their own choice about what they want to believe. And that's wrong. You see, it sounds reasonable, doesn't it? To a certain degree, it sounds reasonable. Yeah, I want my children to make their own choice in what they want to, you know, believe or follow. No. That's a cop-out. That is why we have Sunday school, and that's why we as parents are instructed to teach what the Word says. We don't tell our children, well, make a choice. You know, if you want to follow some other deity out there, then, you know, you're free to do so. No, you're not. This is what we teach them hard and fast. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come to them and we speak to them of a gracious God, a God who has created this world, brought it into existence, done all of these marvelous things that we read about here. And we don't say, perhaps He did that. No, He did it. And He chose to make you as well. You see, the crowning cap of the creation story is us. It is you. I think there's no other greater thing to think about as you consider God than to actually consider that. As God sits on His throne in the heavens and peruses, looks over the entirety of the earth, and he sees the Grand Canyon and Mount Everest and Mount McKinley and all of these mountains. I know McKinley might have changed now to Denali or something. I can't remember the Denali. The ocean, the Pacific, you know, all of this stuff, the marvelous things that are in this earth. What he loves most is you. Do you realize that, little children, this morning? When God looks down from this earth and sees the great oak trees and the redwood forest and, well, what do we look at in Minnesota? All of the lakes. The 10,000 lakes in Minnesota are beautiful farms, you know, that all the stuff that's near and dear to you in this part of the country. All of that is meaningless. What he loves is you. And this is what he demonstrates. You see, because in the third chapter of Genesis, man falls into sin. Man rebels against God, which is why we have all of the things that we have now in this world. Why there's chaos, people hurting people, people making weird choices on how they're going to live, their lifestyle, whatever else it might be. Because everyone forgets that God said. And we need to sound it from our pulpits, no matter what this world says. God created male and female, and nothing else. He made no mistakes. When he created the human race, he created male and female, and he brought them together into unity. And thus it has been from the very beginning, and this is what constitutes marriage in our Christian worldview. It is male and female as they come together in unity before their God. We need to teach our children this stuff, people. We cannot be swayed by this culture that permeates every other thing and choice and all of this garbage. Quite honestly, we need to stand strong on the principles of the Word of God. When God says something, this is what it is. It isn't somehow fuzzy ground or gray. It's plain and clear and simple. So that when we engage this world as young people, when you children engage this world in wherever God will lead you in your life, this will be grounded into you clearly and plainly. You know what God says. And so as the culture begins to throw all of its different teachings at you, whatever else it might be, you understand this is what God said. That doesn't mean you be mean to people or ornery at them or anything else. Actually, you engage them graciously like Jesus did. And you speak to them of their need of a Savior and a Creator God and the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us as we consider even the Holy Trinity. And I'm not going to even try to explain all of that to you this morning. But God manifests himself, he reveals himself as God the Creator in our text, and later on in the New Testament as God the Redeemer, and when he pours out his Holy Spirit as God the Sanctifier, three persons in one Godhead. Jesus reveals himself to you this morning, explains for you who you are in him. You see, because this is where it comes around to, as we understand clearly from the teaching of the Word that God has created us and he's made us who he's made us. If we're male, we're male. If we're female, we're female. And so on and so forth. If you look at a cow, it's a cow. It's not a goat because it wants to be a goat. For Pete's sakes, some of this stuff is quite silly. We simply need to honor what God says in his Word. As we speak forth the message of the Scriptures, this is God. This is your God. And he speaks all of this world into existence, and at the end, on the sixth day, he brings you into existence. And he says, you know, that's good. That's good. In fact, he says it's very good. And we fell into sin, right? We fell into sin. And God comes and redeems us because He loves us. He loves us with a tremendous love, and He sets apart a day where you and I can gather and remember Him. But we remember Him every day, don't we? It says in here, the seventh day He sanctified it. He had a day of rest. God didn't need rest. God doesn't get tired. But He set it apart for you and I. Now, we don't gather on the seventh day of the week. We actually gather on the first day of the week, following the tradition out of the New Testament church, the day of resurrection. But we set this day aside to remember who our God is and what He has done. We gather in the church and we consider, for a moment at least, who He is, what He has done, what He has spoken into this world, what His law says, what His gospel says, what He commands and instructs each one of us as we live out our lives in this world. He continues to do this by His Holy Spirit. God said, perhaps the two greatest words in all of the Bible. You see, that's really what I want you to leave here with today. Well, why is it this way? Why do we orbit the sun? Because God said. Why does the moon have its phases? Because God said. Why am I 6 foot tall? Because God made me that way. Why am I 5 foot tall? Well, God made me that way. Why am I male? Because God made me that way. Why are you female? Because God made you that way. And God loves you so much, in fact, that He has come to redeem you and make you His own. So that you can go out into this world as the followers of Jesus Christ and you can tell them, God said. I don't care what you feel. It's not about feelings. Stop that ridiculousness as well. Follow your heart. Yeah, that follow your heart business is another one of these things that is way, way, way not biblical. Because there's a whole lot of people following their hearts out here, there in this world, and it's led them into the deception of Satan himself, who tells them, has God really said? Yes, God has said. And so when you study this Bible, parents, as you teach your children, don't be afraid of the culture around you. Don't be fearful of the instruction of those who are outside of the kingdom of God. You simply teach and instruct your children according to this word, and you don't be ashamed of what the word says. And come what may, we know that our Lord and our Savior will be with us each and every step of the way. We may suffer because we say God said, but in the end we win. But actually, already we are winners. Because Christ has redeemed us and made us His own. And as we remembered last Sunday, poured out His Holy Spirit upon us. He has come to live among us, to dwell with us, so that we are able, by His strength and by His power, to walk rightly in this world and to understand what it means when it says that God said. You see, if I can just simply understand that, it resolves a whole pile of things in my life. Whether I'm a husband or a wife or a child, the word says for me as a husband, I must love my wife. The word says to the wife, she must submit to her husband. The word says to the children, you must be obedient to your parents. Did I say something wrong? Did I say wives submit to your wives? No, okay. Sometimes they're like, wait, what did I just say? Again, husbands, you are to love your wives. Wives, you are to be in submission to your husbands. Children, you are to obey your parents, for this is good and right in the eyes of God. Are you listening? Are you listening, children? You're listening? I can see you nodding over there. How about over on this side? Are you guys listening? What does the word tell you to do? be obedient to your parents. Because if you're obedient to your parents, the word says this is a commandment that comes with promise. You will have a good life here in this world. Because the community or the union or the relationship that you have with your parents will be blessed. God said. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, God said. This is what God said. May God be praised for His miraculous nature, for His tremendous love for His human race, and for the grace that He still yet extends to this world, to those who are caught in the clutches and the deception of Satan, who go around saying, man said, or I said. May God reveal unto them what He has said, that they may be changed, and they may repent if they are living contrary to His will and come into His grace. For Jesus' name's sake, may it happen. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning for Your word. We thank You, Father, for who You are. Again this morning, Father, we simply fall on our knees before You in reverence and fear of You, not of man, Father. Man can do nothing to us. But Father, You are the judge. You are the creator. You are the redeemer. You are the lover of our souls. So this morning, Father, we run boldly to You, to Your throne of grace. We ask You to forgive us where we have sinned. Help us to be as husbands. Help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. For the wives this morning, Father, I pray that You would help them to be in submission to their husbands in the Lord. For the children, Father, who are gathered in this audience this morning as well, I pray, Father, that in the Lord You would make them obedient. So that, Father, as we make our way through this journey of life, Your name would be glorified, Your name would be hallowed, and people would be drawn to You. So bless us to that end, we ask, in Christ's name. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.